You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 60. Now, my guest today is Jules, and Jules contacted me because last week she got a medical diagnosis that was quite a shock for her. And that night she had a dream, and that's the dream that we're looking at today. Now, we go into this dream very deeply, and Jules also relates very deeply. And it's quite an insight into how her physical body has responded over the last few years to other things going on in her life. There's a lot of light. There's a lot of healing, and there's a lot of, I guess you could say there's a lot of guidance in the dream, in the sense that now Jules understands the situation so much more deeply. She knows what to do to come out in very positive ways through all of this. So everybody will enjoy this. You know, if you're a dreamer, you're going to get so much out of the dream interpretations here. And also, if you have any medical difficulties with your body, diagnoses, illnesses, major or minor, you're going to get so much more. So here we go. Here's Jules. Have a listen. Welcome to the Dream Show, Jules. How are you this morning?
I'm really good, thanks. It's a little bit cold this end, but I'll be right.
I'm sure we'll get really excited once we start talking about your dream and warm up from
yes.
there.
yes.
So what have you got for me? All I know is that it's a dream that you had about a week ago. So what have you got?
Well, what happened was I know where the dream took place. It took place here in Australia. I have travelled a lot, and so sometimes they don't take place in Australia. And it's very interesting because in this dream I was in a relationship with a blonde woman. So she was definitely blonde, or there was more than one blonde woman in this friendship relationship that I had. And this blonde woman really liked looking after corgis.
Corgis, yeah.
Okay. And there happened to be these corgis that I used to own, and they were called Andy and Fergie. Okay. And we decided to take the corgis on a journey. All right. And one day Fergie got lost and we couldn't find her. And, I needed to do something to find her because I was really worried, and I thought, oh my goodness, what has gone on? Why have I lost her? Where has she gone? I had blonde hair. And she said to me that I needed to take something to help me get to Fergie. And during that time, I also realized that she was locked in this castle, and somehow I had to get into this castle. And this healer offered me two things. It was either something that was bright gold, it was in her hand, bright gold, or this gunky brown stuff. And, of course, I took the gold. And I put it on my tongue, and with this I could jump over this castle wall that I needed to jump over. I got rid of all the problems that were in there that prevented Fergie from getting out of this castle and rescued her, and then we continued on our adventure, okay? And when I woke up, this was the funniest part, all I could think about was going for gold, okay? Just not in that sort of sporty way, but that I had to look for gold, the light, for whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. But everything in it that symbolized good to me was it gold. You know, there was my gold-headed, you know, my blonde-headed friend. I think the healer was blonde-headed. It was very, very strange. Anyway, that's it.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. Very uplifting.
Yes.
And very intriguing.
yes, and given where I'm at, I have just been diagnosed with a type of rheumatoid arthritis called scleroderma. It's very, you know, it's very quite debilitating, and I've sort of taken on a different track, and it's very interesting that this has sort of come at this time, and in some ways it's starting to guide me. in what I have to do. But anyway, I want to hear what you want to say.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. And we're certainly working in with a scleroderma diagnosis. Just first, Jules, how long ago did you get that diagnosis?
Only about a week. It was the day before.
You got the day before the dream. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it clearly, because a dream always processes the last day or two of your life experiences, you know, conscious and unconscious, we can quite clearly say that this dream, amongst other things, would indeed have been processing your responses to that diagnosis. So unconsciously as well as consciously. So it's a fantastic dream to bring into the situation. And just one other thing, just for clarification, in the dream, when you were talking about the dream, you said, oh, and I had these two corgis. Was that just in the dream, or did you actually have two corgis?
I actually owned them.
And they were called Fergie and Andy.
Yes.
And how long ago did you have those?
About 15 years ago, and they both lived till a very ripe old age.
Okay. So they died 15 years ago, or you got?
Yeah, they died about. Actually, not 15 years ago, more like 10 years ago they died.
10 years ago, okay. There's so many angles to go in at your dream, and as usual, I mean, I hardly ever go in at the start and work through systematically, so I'm going to go all over the place for this, and I'm going to ask you questions. And you've already done some of the analysis yourself, Jules, you know, saying that you woke up with a feeling of going for gold, and then you related that back to the two blonde-headed people in the dream, you know, the friend that you were very close to and the healer. So you've got all that gold in there already, which is related to alchemy, you know, the kind of work that we're going to work through with your dream now. Because at one point the healer gave you two options, didn't she? There was the gold or the yucky, murky brown.
and it was funny because I didn't think that I don't know why I thought it was so, you know, brilliant of me to take the gold, but because anybody would take the gold. But obviously I had choices. There was choices there. So that was important, that perhaps I always take the yucky brown. Do you know what I mean?
And if that's what you felt, that is absolutely true. And it's also, even though it does seem the literal choice in the dream, and as you say, anyone waking up would say, well, of course you take the gold. Most of us in life take the yucky brown one. Not so much from choice, even though, you know you have the choice, but because most of us can't see the gold really, even though it's there on offer. So, you know, we go about our lives doing it the hard way or the murky way or the negative way or the difficult way, rather than thinking, hang on a minute, there's another way to do this. I could just take the gold.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and so much of our life in and out of dreams is about finding solutions, you know, whether that's a physical solution, a mental or emotional solution, or a spiritual solution. In a sense, it's looking for the gold. It's looking for the light. And you said that about your dream, the feeling that the dream is about, and when you woke up from the dream, it was about looking for the light. And so gold, in a way, can symbolize the light that we get from our yucky, murky brown situation. So it's not necessarily to discount the yucky, murky brown. It's to say, look, you know, to some extent, there's either something in my life that up till now has been yucky, murky brown, or that I have looked at in that way. But because I've been there, I can now see the light.
Yes.
You know, the old thing about you can't know joy if you don't know sorrow.
Yes.
So to look at things that, you know, as we go through this and as I talk to you and ask you further questions, and that you'll begin to say, well, yes, now what was yucky, dirty brown in my life was such and such, and we'll get what that is. But suddenly, at the time of this, strangely at the time of this diagnosis, but also at the time of the dream, I suddenly get it. I see the light. I see what it is. I see the solution, you know, and how amazing is this going to be as we go through this dream that, you know, you get given a diagnosis, and then from that, you, at least unconsciously at this stage, know the best way through this.
Yes, yes. Yes, I do now.
Yeah, and you do as well. But did you find that receiving the diagnosis was a kind of relief in itself in any way?
It was. It was a kind of relief, but it was also a shock. It was a very big shock. But I wasn't as shocked as I thought I would be. Mm-hmm. And, I thought that I would be much more upset by knowing that that was what was the problem, but I wasn't. I wasn't. And so it was sort of going home after the diagnosis, sort of being in a numb state and then having a bit of a cry and then sort of getting up and saying, well, I'm going to get on with this. I'm not going to. So it was that sort of thing. It was sort of looking for the positive.
Yeah.
And then I had the dream. Then I basically had the dream. So it was very, very strange. It was, yeah.
There's so much more in the dream. And what you say makes so much sense, because once you know what you're grappling with, that, whether that's a physical, you know, symptom that you've got now, or whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whatever, once we know what it is we're grappling with, that's when we can really begin to be really constructive about how to deal with it, or where the light is in it, or where to go from now. It's really hard to do that when it's all unclear. In fact, that's what you said about the brown alternative, wasn't it? You said it's murky. It was unclear.
Yes.
So, you know, it's through being given clarity on a situation, even though it may not have been a result that you were kind of hoping for.
Yes.
That clarity in itself gives you what you didn't have before, gives you the choice to go, I'm going for the gold here. So we're going to go into the rest of the dream jewels and work out what the rest of the symbols are for you, so that we can put even more clarity in this, so that your gold, the gold that you go through, you know, go for it, is the very best. So I'm going to start off with first of all, at the top of the dream, you had this feeling that you had this new blonde friend who was really extremely close to you, didn't you?
Yes.
So if you could describe her personality, even though, you know, you've never met her before and she was in the dream, if you could pick a couple of words to describe the feeling she gave you or her personality in the dream, what would you say?
Energetic, supportive, interesting, what else? Yeah, just the type of friend that you want, you know, a giving friend.
A giving friend.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So energetic, supportive, interesting, and giving, the kind of person that you want. In a dream, everybody reflects some aspect of yourself. So there's a sense right at the top of this dream where you suddenly realize that you're very, very close to a new kind of energy, and that's represented by this woman that is, that you are now allowing into your life. It's like, I am now ready to have this, bring these aspects into my life. I am ready to allow, the type of people that, you know, really should support me to come in here. But for myself, for Jules, I am now ready to be more energetic. Perhaps because I know the diagnosis. I'm ready to be more interesting, perhaps because I'm released in a sense. I've got the diagnosis. I can now, instead of spending, as we would all totally empathize with, you know, perhaps many of your quiet waking moments working out what is happening here to my body, you've now got, okay, I know that. I can now be interested in other things and interesting as a result.
Yes. Yes.
And and supportive too, Jules. You know, this is an aspect of yourself that I love, the fact that this dream is going, I'm right with me on this. Is, you know, I am supporting myself on all of this.
Yes. Yes. And I don't think I ever have been really supportive of myself. So that's what's interesting about this dream Yes.
And it's really interesting to know, you know, if you say, I don't think I've ever been supportive of myself.
No.
It's interesting. What happened? You know, the doctor said scleroderma. What clicked? What changed to suddenly make you more supportive of yourself? Was it just the clarity? We'll look more in the dream. But, you know, do you have any ideas yourself about what clicked at that moment?
I think I knew for a long time that I was going down a different path. And there was things that were happening to me that I think I had to change.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way, but just in a way that would help me to be more fulfilled and to be happy. And That was the feeling that I had. So does that
help? Oh, that makes and that makes so much sense, you know. And that's often, you know, the function of a shock, because a shock is an emotional jolt to the body, which you would have felt when you got the diagnosis there. That on the one hand it was like, oh, this is gold, but on the other hand it's the shock, and it sometimes takes an enormous, you know, perhaps even like seismic earthquake kind of level shock to make us think, okay, all right, I'm going to change the way I do some things here. You know, you've got to go that deep. So, you know, on the one hand, one way of seeing the light in this is to say, okay, this diagnosis has given me the opportunity, as you say, to make some changes, which I might not otherwise have made. And, you know, and who knows, in making those changes, that could change everything, including, you know, whether or not the disease progresses and at what rate, if at all, if you reverse it, et cetera, et cetera. So, So the next symbol we're going to come into it are the corgis. And if these were a complete dream symbol, we'd have a lot of fun at this point. But of course, these are actually two corgis that you did have. So I can't say, oh, why did you call them Andy and Fergie? I mean, we all know it's royal corgis. I don't think there's anyone listening to this podcast in any country of the world wouldn't know this, but we'll just go over this. Andy and Fergie, I imagine, are Prince Andrew and Fergie from, you know, the British royal line. And that's who you named them after, because the Queen has corgis. So, so we can't play around with those symbols too much. But what we can play around with there is that it was Fergie that was lost, not Andy. Now, when you think back to those corgis that you had, Jules, did they? What was the what kind of personality did Fergie have? Fergie, your corgi.
Okay, and Fergie was much more independent. She would rush off and do things on her own, and was much more resilient than Andy. Andy was very, very clingy to me, and very, very loving. Whereas Fergie was, but she was much more independent, and you know, she was a more sort of how could I say, less of a pet and more of a person. Whereas Andy was much more a, you know, the typical pet, you know, that just loves you and you know, thinks the world of you. Whereas Fergie was really a, you know, this very bright little personality. So does that help?
It does. And it's lovely that you knew that, you know, even though they've passed 10 years ago, that even at that time you saw Fergie more as a person than a pet, you know, and in doing that, what it really meant is you empathize with aspects of what you saw in her, you know, by saying more of a person. It's like, I, Jules, can relate to you, Fergie. It's like, you're more of a person. You're more like me. So for that aspect to be lost in the dream, and for you to be so determined to go and find it, means that at this time, when it's in response to the diagnosis, you decide to change certain things in your life. One of the things that you decide to change is to go and find what you feel you have lost. And that isn't the actual Fergie the corgi. That is that sense of independence that you mentioned there. So although you've got Andy with you in the dream, he's supportive, you know, and you've said, yes, I'm going to support myself more now, be more supportive towards myself. Would you say that up until the dream you had in some sense, and for whatever reason, let go of some of your independence, go out there, adventure, kind of what's life about kind of feeling?
Yes, definitely.
So she is a really great symbol for us to talk about it, for you to go and you actually found it in the dream, and we'll look at how you can find it and keep it. But you actually found that in a dream, and Fergie the corgi is a great symbol for your unconscious mind to be listening to us right now, to be saying, yes, I'm bringing that back on board. I'm having more of that. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Would you say with your, sorry, you were going to say something?
Oh, no. I'm just very interested, so no, keep going.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
I was actually going to ask you a question there, but I'm just going to put that question on pause to just do the castle bit first, because I think it relates to that. So we've now got where you actually find her in the end is in a castle, and to get to her, you have to jump in one enormous jump over the castle wall. That was it, wasn't it? So if a castle is a building, if a castle had a personality, or if your dream castle had a personality, what would it be?
Oh, it was formidable and very, very strong, and dark and grey, and, you know, sort of, just that formidable foreboding feeling I had. of the castle.
Okay,
yes.
So the foreboding could have been part of the feeling of knowing there was something amiss, you know, prior to your diagnosis, that foreboding, oh my God, what is it? That could be that kind of dark,
yes,
feeling that you have now jumped over because you now know what it is. But you've got that,
yes,
other aspect of it, the formidable, you know, and
yes,
a castle, I guess, by definition is a defense, isn't it? It's something that you build to,
yes,
keep people out. So, my feeling from the dream so far, and we are still going to go deeper into it, is that the castle in the dream represents, mm-hmm, an attitude or an approach to life that you took on some way back, possibly,
yes,
possibly 10 years or more back, in order to keep yourself safe, like some kind of defense. I want to keep myself safe because I feel that people or situations could easily trample my boundaries here. I feel vulnerable, so I'm going to,
yes,
build my walls a bit more to feel safe in my castle.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's quite difficult to feel safe in a castle when you there's really an aspect of yourself that yearns to be independent, and you know, you can be independent in a castle, but who knows?
Yes,
you're a hermit.
That's right.
Yeah. It's difficult to be adventurous when you're in a castle, and it's also difficult,
yes,
to let people in when you're in a castle. So although you built the castle for all good reasons, which was to feel safe and to feel less vulnerable, what you,
mm-hmm,
you also did then was stop people that may have supported you from coming in.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, including yourself. So there's a sense in the dream that you leapt over that castle to free, or to find and then free, because in the dream you continued the journey to free your independent self. So in the dream you left the castle. It's almost like you have done this incredible healing thing yourself. The healer in the dream is also you. One diagnosis,
yeah,
wham, bang, total shock. I'm going to change my life. The castle walls have gone.
Yes.
I'm going to be more independent. I'm going to let support in, whether that's me supporting me or other people also agreeing with me that I'm worthy of support. And
yes,
I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go forward from here. So the question that I was going to ask you just back there was, in the dream, you've got this enormous leap, like totally athletic. Whoa, look at me. I'm going over the castle wall now,
yes,
which none of us could do that easily in waking life. But
no.
with the scleroderma, has that affected your flexibility in any way?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm. Incredibly so.
Mm.
Incredibly so. And like I basically can't move without pain most of the time. So even when I'm stationary, there's pain. So it very much limits what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't misunderstand me when I say that's fantastic, because I'm not saying your pain is fantastic, but what you've told me there is fantastic, because we can relate it into the dream and begin to add,
yes,
to that gold and that, you know, that moving forward now. So if I interpret what you just said to me about your waking life symptoms, your waking life scleroderma and the effect it's had on your life, if I interpret that as if it were a dream, I'd say, well, look, you know, it's a little bit like in your dream. You've got the castle, which we've just described emotionally, you know, I'm vulnerable, keep out, don't come,
yes,
here.
Yes.
But what happens with the physical body is often the physical body, even though we can look at it rationally, medically, and, you know, scientifically, for a diagnosis, the physical body often follows what begins in the mind and the emotions. So when you became, when you set up for all good reasons for your self-protection to build your castle, your body kind of followed. So you've got the castle, and, you know, whereas you set up, you know, you set up the castle in your life for all good reasons to you, which was because you felt vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
There's, to some extent, your body may have followed that cue from your brain. It's like the brain says, castle, and your body went, stiff.
Yes.
Rigid.
Yes.
I'm not,
yes,
going to allow anything in here, you know.
Yes.
And so from there then began maybe, you know, the independence, maybe you lost touch with the independent spirit because you were still on castle.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got the essence there of, isn't it interesting that now that you can see how your physical body has responded to what's been going on in your mental and emotional, you know, your mind and your emotions.
Yes.
That we can now begin to ask the question, well, if we can change your mental approach to this and your emotions, and also do some dream alchemy, maybe we can begin to dissolve the castle walls in your body.
Yes.
Now, whether this means the scleroderma reversing and completely disappearing, or whether it just means that, you know, the signal has stopped, we don't need any more of this, we've yet to discover.
Yes.
But there's such a strong connection there. And in a sense, you've already done it, because you did actually leap over the castle and free yourself from the dream. So we know that at a very deep level, you've already made the changes in attitude that release the castle walls.
Yes. But I do believe that.
Yeah. And what we will go on to do, you know, shortly, is create a dream alchemy practice to basically really hammer that home, so that as well as you consciously making these decisions, that we make sure that your unconscious mind is in total alignment with all of this.
Yes. And I understand that now. Like, these dreams have led me to understand how important that is.
Oh, that's really good. So, you know, very probably your unconscious mind is totally on schedule with it. I did want to talk about the coin again, the gold coin and the murky, you know, it's got this lovely analogy in that too, that in dream alchemy and medieval terms, that's what they did. You know, the alchemist students were sent out to convert, a basic metal.
Yes.
Into gold. And they were given this task, you know, and they set up their laboratories and had to find ways to create gold from it. And basically, you can't physically do that. You know, scientifically, you've got a lump of iron. It's just not going to change into gold. Well, not where we're at now, scientifically, maybe in the future. And of course, some of them lied and, you know, pretended that they did. But what they really did was a spiritual discipline. You know, in exploring every possible way to change that iron into gold, what they discovered was spiritual enlightenment within themselves.
Yes.
And in a sense, you know, you've also got in your dream the castle. It's almost like a medieval symbol as well, you know, and freeing the Fergie, the royal maiden. It's almost like Rapunzel in the castle. You know, it's almost archetypal, isn't it?
It is. And it's very strange, very weird. And, yes, I can remember waking up and laughing almost.
Yeah.
Loud, because I was thinking, this is a very strange dream.
And that is a good thing too, because if you laugh in a dream, if something is really funny in a dream, or you wake up laughing, that is not just the humor of the dream, that is actually often an emotional release as well. It's like you see the funny side. You know, no matter how dire life gets, when you make a change, you look back on life's dramas and you just got to see the funny side, you know?
That's right.
And you've done that. But I also like in your dream how you had the two blonde women and you particularly focused on their hair.
Yes.
You know, and so when you got to the castle point in the dream, I was already thinking, oh, Rapunzel, but it didn't go down that track.
No, but
so there's that, you know, as I say, maybe an archetypal thing there of freeing something quite ancient, and hair grows out of the head and therefore sometimes can be like our ideas or our mental attitudes as well. So you've got golden thoughts, you've changed your thinking about what you want to do. You know, we just want to make sure that your emotions have followed that as well.
Yeah.
I could go into the dream more, but would you like to ask any more questions about that dream before we go into doing some dream alchemy with it?
No, I don't, because what keeps on happening is that it keeps on being recalled in my head, and I'm happy. I'm overwhelmed with what you've said. I think that just confirms what I understood.
Mm.
But I would like to go further with it so that I can use it.
Excellent.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'm using it yet.
Okay. That's really good, because there's two ways to, you know, often dream alchemy is used to basically reverse what's negative in a dream, but you've already got the positive stuff, but we want to really accentuate that. So if I, and as you've just said, you it's going over in your head, and you actually said to me in your head, I think. So
yes.
That's, you've got, again, re-emphasizing, you've got it in your head, you've got the thinking, but you're not sure that you've got the feeling. So we want to really anchor it into the body. Now, Jules, are you good at visualizing?
Yes, I can visualize.
Okay, that's excellent. So what I'm going to do for your dream alchemy practice is we're going to bring up the good parts of the dream, and I'm going to give it to you as a visualization, but I'm going to ask you to do something with your body at the same time. You know, I'm not quite sure what it's going to be yet, but I'm going to get you to, as you imagine the visual, when you do this visualization,
yes.
Not when you're sitting at the microphone now, because you won't be able to do this, but I'm going to get you to get up and actually physically do something. And that is to move the visualization from your head into your physical body.
Yep.
And probably the bit I'm going to do is leaping over the castle. Now, obviously, I'm going to amend this slightly.
Yes.
I'm not going to say go out and leap over a castle. But that feeling, when you leapt over the castle in the dream, what was the emotion you got at that time of the leap?
Elation and strength.
Okay, that's great. And if I design an alchemy and ask you to bring that feeling back, the elation and the strength, do you feel you would be able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Particularly because it's related to that. This is where dreams are so powerful. You know, you have the dream and that emotion is so anchored to the visuals and the body feeling in the dream. So a lot of the dream.
Getting pins and needles now. Oh. You know, and I'm getting sort of like, ooh.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. and this is where the magic is. You know, we're beginning to talk to your unconscious mind as well as your thinking mind, because your unconscious mind is going, yeah, I know this. I had this in the dream. That's how I was trying to speak to you in the dream. You know, wall, castles, jumping and all of that stuff.
Yes.
So I'm going to keep it very simple. And your visualization, when you do it, will be, you can stand up, can't you?
Yes, I can stand up. You don't want me to stand up now.
No, not now. I'm just working with your flexibility. When you do it, to stand up and do whatever amount of the leap feels good to you. So on some days you might actually be able to jump. On other days you may feel more like kind of imagining a wave of a jump going through your body.
Yeah.
You know, whatever level of physical simulation of that jump you can bring in, but in the very least standing up and you know, moving some muscles as if you're jumping.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then as you do that, to literally re-enter the dream where you got that ecstatic, strong feeling as you jumped over the castle wall.
Yeah.
Now, the only difference we're going to make is that as you jump over the castle wall, we're going to say, yeah, now feel that in your body again. Connect with that feeling, the ecstatic, the joy, the strength. But then we also jump to the end of the dream. So as you jump over that castle wall, you have an awareness that the castle walls disappear.
Okay.
You're jumping over them makes them disappear. And we're going to then bring into the visualization a symbol of where you would like to be. So have you got a personal symbol or a something or a picture in your mind's eye of where you would like to be? Because we can either put that in there, or we can put the big gold coin, or we can make a statue out of gold, because, you know, you had the waking feeling of going for gold. What kind of feeling would give you, have you got a vision that you're kind of working towards?
Not really. I think the gold vision is sort of something gold is really good for me. Just when you said that, I thought, there are lots of things that I like to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, gold can buy and do anything for you.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And right at the, you know, start of our talk, you mentioned that you felt the gold gave you light as well. So we're going to have that gold actually shining a golden light as well.
Yeah.
And we'll have Fergie with you in the visualization, because she represents the independence that you're taking forward with you too.
Right. Okay.
Does that feel okay to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So running over.
Really
so running over it literally. And when you do this visualization, you'll stand up and you're going to do whatever amount of a leap feels you can do.
Yes.
And you're going to jump over that castle wall and actually feel that ecstatic emotion and feel the strength as you do so, and look down, and probably on your right side, yes, look, there's Fergie jumping it with you, and she's alive and vibrant and well, and you can feel the castle walls disappear from the pure power of you leaping over them. And look there, beautiful, beautiful, huge lump of gold, shining golden light, and that reinforces all that feeling of ecstatic and strength and support and independence and anything else you would like to add in there. And, and the final part is just to really make sure that no matter what level of leaping you physically do while you're doing this visualization, in your mind's eye, you are super flexible doing this enormous leap. So you're actually, you know, beyond all the boundaries of normal human body.
Yes. And that's what I've just done while you were talking about it.
And how did it feel?
Oh, it's really good.
Now, I'm so glad that you did that while we were talking about it, because a lot of people say, yes, yes, that's great. And then after, I don't know how to do that, you know. And when I do one-on-one consultations with people, I'll talk them through, and I'll maybe talk through 4 or 5 times until they've really got it. And then, like, it's easy to do it from there. But yes. Now that you've done it, you know what it is. So, yes. Jules, for 2 weeks, do that 30 times a day.
Right. Okay.
And it took you all of, I don't know, you can go back in time, that less than a minute.
Yes.
It really isn't very, very long. It feels like a long time when we're talking about it, but it really isn't long. And after that 2 weeks, just twice a day, or yes. whenever you feel like doing it.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I think I'll feel like doing it a lot.
Yeah. and watch your dreams and watch for results and watch for what happens. And, you know, and not only, the alchemy really hammers at home, but the other things that have come out during our talk and which you have, you know, resonated with, will have gone much deeper now than your head and the thinking. They will have already started penetrating, you know, your emotions and getting the endorsement from your body.
Yes.
Now, two things actually. One, to caution you that sometimes in the early couple of days of a dream alchemy, you can actually appear to be going in reverse. So, you know, your body might actually get stiffer or tighter.
Yes.
And
yes.
you probably are already aware that this is what we do. It's like the dart before the dawn. We go, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I don't want that. Oh, no. Oh, no, hang on a minute. Comfort zone, castle, where's my walls? And then just keep doing the visualizations anyway.
Yes.
And then it goes through. And the other thing is, keep a little notebook and just in bullet point fashion, write whatever you like, but at least in bullet point fashion, just note down anything, even if it's the smallest thing that you just think, oh, I wouldn't normally have reacted that way, or, oh, look at that. Isn't that interesting? I've never seen that before.
Yes.
So that, because sometimes we notice the big things, but we don't notice how many little things all add up together to being changes.
That's right. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. And keep a book. I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was such a brilliant and fantastic dream to share, Jules, because there'll be a lot of people either facing diagnoses or dealing with diagnoses. And I think you will, just in this, you know, sharing your dream, will have given them already a lot of gold and a lot of light and a lot of thoughts as to how to respond and approach.
Yes, yes. You can do it. You can do it. I think that's the message that I have as well, is that, you know, anybody can do it. If I can do it, anybody can.
That is fantastic. Thank you. So everyone out there, you're listening to that. Did you have any more questions, Jules?
No. That was really fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm so grateful.
It all fits
in with everything.
It's a pleasure. And we look forward to hearing how you go. And as I always say to everyone, there's two ways to update. One is just to me privately, which most guests do. And then some guests occasionally say to me, look, I'm ready. I'd love to share this with the listeners. So, you know, you can also update me on anything that you feel, oh, this part I'd like to update everyone on. And I'll bring that into a future show or a blog or something.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, well, I'll see if I come up with a better dream than I did last night.
Okay. What was the bottom line of last night's dream? Because
I was flying, and there was another dog in there, and I had to return a golden flask to a person overseas, and I love traveling, and it was very interesting, but there was a lot of flying without. Just flying.
So at a quick grab without going in deep, that looks like you continuing your leap over the castle walls and the golden thing that you're returning almost says Holy Grail on it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. So anyway, but yeah. Continue to dream. So
absolutely. Well, you're well on your way, and thank you for that. And, you know, and go for gold.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure I don't need to say this, but if you have friends who maybe are struggling a bit physically or medically for whatever reason, you might like to pass this podcast on to them, because, you know, Jules delivered even just that beautiful message that Jules delivered at the end is so worth sharing there. And if you'd like to contact me, you know, either because you're struggling with some kind of physical ailment or disease, and you want to look at that through your dreams, then of course, you know, you can contact me through my website at www.dream.net.au for a consultation. And if your body is absolutely fine, you're physically fit and well, and it's more like, you know, matters of the heart or the emotions, search for meaning in life, look for direction, whatever it is that needs to be healed in your life, and you just think that, you know, a little help from understanding yourself more deeply for your dreams might be good for you, then here I am available for consultation. Like, you can consult by phone or Skype, you can consult by email, and you can go for more than one-offs. You can go for, you know, a series of weekly phone calls that really keep the process flowing and going till you unearth what you need to know to, you know, vastly improve your waking life. So thanks for listening. Also, there's my blog, just for, you know, I think I blog 2 or 3 times a week at www.janetheresa.com, and also, of course, at Facebook, where you can go and have your say and join in and meet other people. And until then, we're off to celebrate the fact that we've just reached 60 episodes. So thank you to Michael, my husband, for doing incredible IT work, often podcasting from strange locations under sometimes quite difficult circumstances as we travel around doing what we do. So thank you to Michael for doing all of that. I get the easy bit. I just sit in the microphone and have a chat, which I really enjoy. So yeah, we're going off to celebrate, and see you next week for episode 61 of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson. Thank you for being with me.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.